The following day, Kyle is finally feeling better. He opens the curtains and then lies back down, flexing his hands, easing out the cramps in his calves. His stomach growls. He craves hot chips with chicken salt. It feels incredible to be so well. His brain, on form, throws at him an image of Josh lying on river silt. No, Kyle thinks. Not yet. He grabs the room service menu. Okay, the chips won't have chicken salt, but they'll be close enough. He texts Miller. Feeling better? As he's waiting for the chips, a reply comes through. Yeah, my turn. Ah, shit, he thinks. Just grabbing some food, then I'll come check on you. Sad face. Don't come in smelling of food. Okay, what can I bring? Dunno, nothing. Don't worry about it. He looks at the text for a long time. Okay, she doesn't want to be disturbed. She does seem to have this solitary way of coping with things. He can respect that. The chips arrive, and though they burn his tongue, he wolfs down handfuls of salty potato. He may never have tasted chips this good. He should get out and about and leave the window open and hopefully return to a clean room devoid of sick smells. He goes to leave the building. Halfway across the foyer, he spins back to the reception desk and asks the concierge to let the housekeeping staff know his friend is sick and may not want to be disturbed. He texts Miller to let her know, adding, "Hope that was the right thing to do." "Do you want me to compliment you?" she writes back. Harsh, maybe fair. His temptation is to send a long-winded message about how he is doing his best, but he puts his phone in his pocket. Fresh air, Prague in summer. He and Josh had wanted to go see the astronomical clock. He makes his way across the bridge, excuses himself through the crowds, and gets there just in time. His pocket buzzes. "Sorry, just sick grumpiness. Don't even worry about it," smiley face. He watches the clock. On the hour, the two small windows open above the dial and the 12 apostles appear once death has rung his bell. Vanity, greed and lust shake their heads, unwilling to go with the skeleton. People film on their phones, clustered together in the square. Kyle is overcome by contrasts. The figure of death, installed in 1410, soon after the Black Death, and centuries before their own pandemic. And yet here we all are, gathered again, close and breathing on one another. He looks at the other details on the clock as the hourly show concludes. The astrolabe, the background with its zodiacal ring, and icons of the sun and moon. Below the clock is an ancient calendar and the names of 365 saints. Take your pick, he thinks. Beside the calendar are figures, the Archangel Michael plus an astronomer, a chronicler, and a philosopher. An interdisciplinary clock. He wishes he was sharing this with Josh. Josh sent him a snap, he remembers, saying that he'd taken a look but hadn't stayed for the show, that he would wait until he and Kyle were back there together. Kyle's eye is drawn to the Archangel, also known as Saint Michael, the healer and protector, is what he was taught in his childhood. Someone to call upon in the battle against evil. And this was particularly encouraged in the case of facing evil within yourself. But Michael is also associated with death. Carrying the souls, weighing them. Kyle can't help imagining what a soul might look like, a wisp upon the scale. Something twists in Kyle, an understanding of some yearning, even though he considers himself an atheist. He thinks it is connected to his Sundays in church as a child, a comforting weekly ritual, time spent together. Michael exists in the Hebrew Bible too, and the Quran, though Kyle doesn't know much about the differences. This lingering or implanted spirituality from childhood gives a quiet emphasis to the world, to what he sees, hears, smells, tastes, that is not entirely able to be expressed by words, language. He watches the astronomical clock, standing among others and where others stood yesterday, where his friend briefly stood, and people 100 years ago, 400, 600, and their breath still in the air somehow, the dead left inside us. The feeling that none of it ever really went away, just compounded, and that somehow he's always been able to hold that thought with a kind of love, a pleasure.